It's my responsibility whether I prosper or fail. It's my responsibility. And Father has already provided it all.
Welcome to the Believer's Voice of Victory. Today, Kenneth Copeland welcomes special guest Frederick Price. Join them as they open God's Word to the truth about the application of God's prosperity in every area of life.
Hello, everybody. I'm Kenneth Copeland. This is the Believer's Voice of Victory broadcast, and you picked the right day to tune in today. I'm telling you, Dr. Frederick K.C. Price is on the broadcast today. Fred, I've been looking forward to this for a long time, brother.
Praise the Lord.
And we've been together for well into 35 years now, and our families and ministries came together back years and years and years ago. And there's not anybody that I could have on this broadcast that has ministered to me and my family any more than this dear man here. It's just been a wonderful thing. I just have a mental vision of the first time I ever saw you was first time I ever heard you preach in Brother Hagin's camp meeting.
Yep.
And he came out there on the platform and you never saw somebody so full of energy, just abounding. I just faith written all over him. He bounded out there, and he said, "I am ready, Freddy." And when he said that, I'm telling you, the place literally exploded. And I told Gloria, I said, "Yeah, that's my man right there. Yeah, he's ready, Freddy, and I'm ready too." And we had, man, I'm telling you, this was back in the days when people said, "Faith, what's that?" Mm. And it's been a powerful, powerful partnership all of these years. And I'm extremely excited to have this opportunity on the broadcast all this week and all next week to get into things that Brother Fred and I together, we've been at this a long time,
a day or two,
and we've seen, God, both of us came into the ministry, didn't either one of us have anything. I mean, we watched God build our lives in front of us for the, for many, many years now. We've seen depressions, we've seen recessions, we've seen inflation, we've seen tragedy in our own personal lives, and all of that. And we've seen God work these things out, and we've learned some things. We haven't learned nearly all of it, but we've learned enough to get through some things. And so we've got some things that we're going to be talking to you about for the next 2 weeks that have to do with all of this mess that the government's made out of its affairs and the mess that natural, secular man makes out of himself without God. But there is hope. And it's not as hard as you think to believe your way out of these things. So let's have a word of prayer, and we'll get right into God's Word. Father, we just thank you so much. We give you praise. Thank you for sending Brother Fred to us. And we know that you, sir, are the answer, and you're available to us, and we thank you for it.
Hallelujah.
In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
There's not anybody that you can find anywhere that knows any more, at least that I know anything about, concerning God's Word and practical application of His Word, step by step by step, to grow God's prosperity in your life. Now, faith begins where the will of God is known.
Amen. That's it. It's the key.
You can't have faith if you're wondering about His will.
That's right.
Then the next step when you find out His will is to realize that if it's His will, then that's what we're going to do.
Amen.
Amen. Let's go. You can't start this study without 3 John.
Yeah.
So let's go over there. And this little book begins with a very, very important statement. The elder. Mm. The Apostle John, the man that Jesus turned his mother over to care and watch for her while he was hanging on the cross. Now, this very man, if anybody ought to know, this man ought to know what he's talking about. And here he is as an elder. He's been around a long time. If anybody knows the will of God, this man knew it. He's an elder. Now, this is what he said. Beloved, I wish, the cross reference says, I pray above all things that you may prosper and be in health even as your soul prospers. So, I'm supposed to prosper.
Amen.
And I'm supposed to be in good health according to that. I rejoice greatly when the brethren came and testified of the truth that is in you, even as you walk in the truth or in the Word of God. I have no greater joy than to hear that my children are walking in the truth, or that the people that have come to Jesus through my ministry and the ones that I'm responsible for ministering to and in behalf of, that they are walking out the Word in their life, prospering and being in good health. Boy, that doesn't leave much room for question, does it?
Not much.
Now, Fred, my question to you today, and I believe it's the question on the heart of Christian people that are really, you know, that are serious about believing God and having what God has provided for them in their lives. Is it God's will for me to prosper? And evidently here it is. Is it His will right in the middle of all of this financial cave-in and everything that the media's screaming and hollering about, all the bailouts and bail-ins and bailouts and all that. Is it God's will for me to be in good shape financially through all of this? Or is this the hand of God punishing us or something here? And I'm supposed to just go hungry like all the rest of them and be punished and learn some wonderful something out of all of this. And I'm asking you, sir, and in your life's experience and so forth, where are we in that right now? I know good and well there's a lot of people watching this broadcast now that probably didn't pay any attention to us much back some months ago, but since we're supposed to be prosperity preachers, that there's a lot of curious believers, and we need to hear this.
Yeah, I know in my personal experience, Kenneth, you really hit on an interesting point, is the issue of ignorance. The average Christian is totally ignorant of what the Word of God has to say about prosperity. And the opposite, of course, of prosperity is lack, want, and all those kinds of things. And that came over with the pilgrims when they came from Europe with this poverty mentality.
Is that where that first sprung up in the body of Christ?
That's how it got into this country.
Uh-huh.
And so it was assumed that to be spiritual and righteous and to be in covenant with God where you ought to be, you got to have nothing as far as this world is concerned, because
the
Puritan idea.
Exactly.
They consider that having things is worldly. And so they don't know what the word says. Because in most churches, I know I was in four different denominations over a 17-year period, and I heard absolutely nothing about things like this. It was all about, well, just hold on to God's unchanging hand. The Lord knows how much you can bear, and it'll be better after a while over there on the other side when we pass through the pearly gates and talk to Peter, James, and John about how we got over. In the meantime, you just suffer through it.
Oh, my.
And, I accepted it because I thought these people knew what they were talking about. Mm-hmm. I mean, they're in the pulpit. They're the head of the church. And the assumption was they know. And I found out my eyes were opened at everybody saying, Jesus, don't know what they're talking about. And so I got to the point where I was tired of being whipped and defeated in life and going without and struggling. And I said, you know, there's got to be more to this than what I've been seeing experientially. So I began to look into the Word, and I was amazed at how much the Word has to say about us prospering. Because really, when we prosper, Father God prospers. If we're poor, God is poor. I mean, if I'm in a hospital room in an iron lung and I can't get up, to that extent, God is bound to that bed. Because He only works and can work and has designed to work through us. So if I'm limited, He's limited to that extent. So the thing is, I have to know, what does the Word actually say about it? Forget about what anybody else says. What does the Word say? Because it never changes. It's not affected by the conditions, politics, or anything like that. It says the same thing all the time, all the time, all the time. So I went into the Word. I know this, that it's the will of God for Fred to prosper. Now, some people, they don't, you know, they get upset when you say it like that. But I don't know what you believe. You know, I don't know what this other person believes. I don't know what you think. I only can know about me and be sure about it. I know I'm supposed to prosper. If there's only one person on the planet that does prosper, materially, physically, financially, mentally, and every other way, you're looking at Him.
Yeah, and I'm going to be right there beside you.
I'm the man. I'm the man.
Yes, amen.
And you have to have that kind of attitude, or Satan's really going to cheat you out of what rightfully belongs to you.
You really do, don't you?
You got it. You got to have it. So the Word tells me I'm supposed to prosper. Yeah, in fact, let's look at something quickly. Joshua chapter 1. It there's a statement in here that's just, I mean, you have to hire somebody to help you misunderstand this.
And we've had a lot of help.
Oh, boy.
Some high-priced help.
There it is. There it is. But it's so plain until you wonder, how do people that are supposed to be intelligent, how do they miss this? But if they have the blinders of tradition on, they can't see past their nose. Joshua chapter 1. Look at this. He tells us here in the 8th verse. He says, this book of the law, and of course, when it says law, it doesn't mean the Ten Commandments. It means the Word of God, because mm-hmm. God's Word is law. You don't find anywhere in the Word of God from Genesis to Revelation where Father ever says, I suggest that you do this
no,
and so.
No.
When He speaks, mm-hmm. it's law.
Yeah.
This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth. In other words, we should never stop speaking the Word. But you shall meditate in it day and night. Watch this now. That you may observe to do. You meditate in it day and night that you may observe to do. So the object of the meditation is to get to the point of doing something. That you may observe to do according to all that is written in it, for then. Those words, for then, are awesome. For then you, not God will, for then you will make your way prosperous. You'll do it. And then you will have good success. So it tells me two things. Father wants me to prosper. He wants me to have good success. And it's up to me. It's not up to Him, because He's already provided all the wherewithal. It's up to me to do something. He told me what to do. Don't let the Word proceed out of my mouth. Meditate in it day and night, that I may observe to do according to all that's written in it. So if I don't know what's written in it, I can't do it. And that's wherein the problem lies with most Christians. They don't know what's written in it, so they can't do it. So they go the path of least resistance, which is what the news media tells
us. You're taking somebody else's idea
of what
it says.
There it is.
Yeah.
There it is.
I know. I was the same way. When I became a student of this, in the very same situation that people have found themselves in right now, I never read that. I never heard of that.
That's right.
I was raised in church, Fred. Yeah. I never heard of this in my life.
There it is. It's been there all the time.
All the time.
That's incredible. For then you will make your way prosperous. So I say it this way. It's my responsibility whether I prosper or fail. It's my responsibility. And Father has already provided it all. Now, I know you're aware of this verse. Look at Deuteronomy. This is really, these two verses, Joshua and Deuteronomy, to me are keys. They're the hinges on which the door swings into that area of prosperity. Because again, if you think about it, we're all that God has.
Well, that's true.
He didn't commission the angels. We're all that God has. So if I'm all that God has, the question is God in trouble? Is God in trouble? If I am defeated, God is defeated. What can I present to someone else but a defeatism? So they're going to get a picture of a God who's defeated because they see me who claim to know him and love him and worship him and obey him, seeing me defeated, poverty-stricken, poor, and all that, they assume God is.
Fred, that's the reason we're the butt of jokes all over the world. Go ahead.
Now, watch it.
You done got me stirred up.
All right, now. All right, now.
Okay.
Behave yourself.
All right.
Deuteronomy 8, verse 18. Very familiar, but so misunderstood. It says, and you shall remember, this is the Lord speaking to the people prior to them going into the promised land. He said, and you shall remember the Lord your God, for it is he who gives you power to get wealth. It's not he who gives you wealth. It's he who gives you the power. And that word power literally means the ability to get the wealth. So he gives me the power to get wealth. Most people stop reading right there. And they get fixated on, oh, me, I'm wealthy. I'm going to get this. But that's not what it says. Look at this. It says, for it is he who gives you power to get wealth that he may. It's he who gives you power to get wealth that he may. Not that I may, that he may. He gives me power to get wealth so that he may, what? Establish his covenant, not my private agenda, which he swore to your fathers as it is this day. So prosperity is really about God.
Man.
That's awesome.
Yes, it is.
He gives us power or ability to get wealth so that he... Not so that we, so that he. Now, in the process of so that he, all our stuff is taken care of big time when we're obedient to do that. But people lose sight of that and they think only of prosperity. It's something for me, get a new car, a yacht, house on the hill, all that kind of stuff. And they make that the object, the end in itself, when it really is the residual benefits of him establishing his covenant.
That makes my personal stuff really little.
Absolutely.
In comparison to his plans and his ideas.
Yeah, absolutely.
Far greater than anything we could personally come up with.
Absolutely.
I was reading an article by a rabbi that very, very interesting man, knows God, godly man. And he said to have the idea that that prosperity and having access to material things is not of God is foolishness. Because in the reality of it, all men at all times have needed material things.
Always.
So that's foolishness. But then he says to have the idea that to prosper is to just get enough for you to live even a lavish lifestyle is very, very limited because you can only do so much with so much stuff. But when you become a channel and conduit by which God can use to supply the world,
absolutely.
Whoa, man,
that's
unlimited thing, isn't it?
And that's what it's all about.
That's what he told me right there.
Bottom line, that's what it's really all about. But if you don't know that, then again, you can miss it. And most Christians have. And it's sad to see them. My church is full of them all over the world. And they're just struggling, thinking they're supposed to, thinking that it's the will of God simply because he allows it. But like I always tell people, you know, look at this shirt. Do you have more than one shirt? Sure you do. So I know why you wore this shirt today. You wore it because as you got up and looked in your closet, you heard the voice of the Lord saying, "Thus saith the Lord, thou shalt wear this shirt today." No, you picked the shirt out, and guess what? God let you out of the house with that shirt.
Yes, He did.
And He'll let you out of the house with cancer. He'll let you out of the house with sickness. He'll let you out of the house with the welfare check. Not up to Him. It's up to us.
And that's the you read the process over there in Joshua.
There it is. There it is. Yeah. You'll make your way prosper. But there are requisites that we have to observe, and that is, don't let that word out of your mouth. Never stop speaking the word. And most people speak the circumstances more than they speak the word. So the word, the circumstances has greater effect on them than the word does. You got to speak the word, not because of, but in spite of what's going on around you.
And that you hit right there at faith's heart, and that's also the heart of Christian failure. Either not knowing that or refusing to do it when they do know it.
Exactly. Two things, either way.
Yeah, either way. Either it still way. Brings the same disastrous
same
results.
Same disastrous results, exactly. My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge.
And then getting knowledge and not acting on it.
And not acting on it.
That's even worse.
Because knowledge is not going to do you any good if you don't act on it.
No. I remember what Brother Hagin used to say, knowledge acted on brings results.
Absolutely.
It's not just knowing.
Oh, no.
It's the doing
it's the
of
doing.
The knowing
be a doer
that
of
brings
the word.
Results.
Be a doer of the word.
Praise
That's the key
God.
Phrase. A doer of, not just a knower of the word, but a doer. Because if you know and don't do, you might as well not know. What good is it going to do you?
Well, that's true.
Yeah, you got to do
well,
it.
Well, and too, Jesus talked about this part of it. He said, if you don't use it, you're going to lose what little you do have.
There it is. There it is.
That's a bad deal, man. Yeah,
use it or lose it.
My goodness. Is your clock broke, Tim? I mean, we can't already be out of time. Oh, man. This is a 5-minute broadcast. Brother Fred and I will be back in just a moment.
In these economic times, are we as Christians supposed to prosper? The answer is yes. The Word says that you shall remember the Lord your God, for it is He who gives you the power to get wealth. God knows what lies ahead, and He has given everything we need to see us through to victory. He wants us to prosper in every area of our lives, and that includes our finances. Frederick Price has written a powerful book, Prosperity, Good News for God's People. This book gives sound biblical advice concerning God's plan for us to prosper.
There are no quick fixes as such, other than fixing your mind.
Do you know the difference between the world's prosperity system and God's prosperity system?
Hey, it isn't over. You get a hold of God's word and you press in there, praise God.
Prosperity, good news for God's people. To order your copy of Prosperity, Good News for God's People by Frederick Price, log on to our website at kcm.org and order online. This dynamic new book reveals God's design and purpose for increase and is now available for just $15. To request your copy by phone, call 800-575-4455. Or you may write to us at Kenneth Copeland, Fort Worth, Texas, 76192. Order your copy today.
Frederick K.C. Price's brand new book, Prosperity, Good News for God's People. And I'm telling you, this is not a good book. It's a great book. And the thing you can do with this, and I've said this to you over and over again, our purpose in producing books and anything else we can get our hands on is to get you into the book. And, of course, anything that comes under the hand of Fred Price is going to could be a just word down the line of what the Bible has to say about it. God intends for you to prosper and be financially secure in life. Yeah, but Brother Price, the economy is so bad. No, it isn't. That's the world's mess they made out of the economy. The economy is God's plan, God's will, God's economy. That mess out there that you're seeing is not the economy. That is, it's a pile of junk. So, but this one, This one is not affected by that one. And this is the reason you need to get into this book. Stay in line with God's will and the laws of tithes and offering and God's plan was in action from the beginning. This is just good, strong study material. You know what my suggestion to you would be? Not only just take and just read it at bedtime or something. Take the time. Call the family together. Read it out loud. Study your Bible. Say, huh. And go in and look up all of these scriptures. Study it. Pray together. Get the whole family involved. And what you're doing, you watch God just shoot you through this chaos that's going on today and make this your new news media. This is good news. Amen. For good people. Father, we pray over this book. We pray over your people out there in the name of Jesus, and we thank you for empowering them to prosper. Ah, Gloria and I are coming to Australia. Praise God. We're going to be in Sydney May the 21st through the 23rd. Then in Brisbane, May the 28th through the 30th. Now, we've got somewhere in the neighborhood of 11,000 partners in Australia and around the Pacific Rim there. We are looking for all of you to be in that meeting. You just need to get in there. We've been in Australia now, full-time ministry staff in Australia for 30 years. We're celebrating our 30th anniversary there. So yeah. Come get in these meetings with us. We love Australia. Praise God. Go to the website. We'll see you tomorrow. Until then, this is Kenneth Copeland, Fred Price, reminding you that Jesus is Lord.
Thank you for joining us on the Believer's Voice of Victory. To purchase a copy of this week's broadcasts on DVD or CD, visit our website at kcm.org or call toll-free 800-575-4455. Join Kenneth and Gloria Copeland in Australia for these exciting victory campaigns in 2009. Come to the Sydney Victory Campaign from the 21st to 23rd of May at the Sydney Entertainment Center, 35 Harbour Street, Haymarket, Sydney, New South Wales.
Awesome blessing. You come together in that unity and just to see this presence and see the face of Jesus.
Just to be within a stone's throw of where he's actually ministering, I'd recommend to anybody just come and check it out because it's a wonderful experience here.
Come to the Brisbane Victory Campaign from the 28th to 30th of May at the Brisbane Convention and Exhibition Centre at the corner of Merivale and Glen Elg Street, South Bank, Brisbane, Queensland.
Coming into an atmosphere where there's people believing by faith and hearing the word, that you're able to easily just come under that presence with Jesus.
To find out more, visit kcm.org or call 800-600-7395. The glory will shine in 2009. Come to the West Coast Believers Convention June 29th through July 4th at the Long Beach Convention Center in Long Beach, California. The Southwest Believers Convention is August 3rd to the 8th at the Fort Worth Convention Center in Fort Worth, Texas. Days of Refreshing September 13th to 18th at Eagle Mountain International Church right here at the Kenneth Copeland Ministries headquarters in Fort Worth, Texas. For more information, go to kcm.org or call 800-600-7395. Tomorrow on the Believer's Voice of Victory.
But if you teach the people, they will love you and they'll demonstrate that love in giving.